When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show as we continue on. And joining us now is, I don't know, maybe we'll change his name to the, instead of X-Man to the Magic Man, Xavier Restrepo is with us. And coming off one of the great performances the other night against Virginia Tech. And, of course, Xavier Restrepo had probably not only the catch of the game, catch of the year. I don't know. It might have been the catch of the century. X-Man, thanks for being with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for this amazing opportunity.
Hey, let's go back to that play real fast. It's fourth down and three. Game is on the line. Cam Ward throws the ball in your direction, and you slip. Take us through the whole thing of what happened and how you made that play.
For sure. We knew they were going to go man, bring the house. And, I mean, all week in practice, you know, we've been practicing this play. And Cam saw on film, you know, when they do this, we're going to call this play. And so I knew I was getting the ball. It was a little return route, going back inside. And honestly, it was just one of those spots on the field where, you know, you plan and just the grass comes up. But thankfully, by the grace of God, I was able to, you know, somehow put my tips of my fingers on the ball. And, you know, Cam threw a great ball and I got it.
You somehow, I think, reached back for it from a sitting position. I think you reached back over your helmet.
Right. Yes, I did. Right. I mean, again, I always tell Cam, you know, just give me a chance and I'll take care of the rest. So he has enough to deal with.
Don Bailey and I were talking about it in the broadcast, and I said, probably for Xavier, maybe it was like one of those dreams, you know, when you're trying to get someplace, you know, you have to get there, and you're late, and, you know, you just keep falling down, you can't get there. So one of those slow-motion dreams that turns into a nightmare. Was it a slow-motion dream like, oh, God, I fell down, I see the ball coming?
I mean, it's funny because every day before practice, I sit on the wall upside down and, you know, stretch my legs out. And I also catch, you know, balls from my slot receiver coach, Coach Donovan Varner. He just throws me balls like that upside down every single day. And, you know, when the ball came, I mean, it's not the first time I've seen, you know, that ball like that or the spin of the ball or with me on my back like that. So I mean, I feel like the situation is what made it, you know, that good of a catch. But to me, I feel like I made better catches than that.
That's funny you mentioned Varner because when he played at Duke, he was a lot like you.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, his name's in the record books, you know, so every time he opens his mouth, man, I'm you know, open ears, clear-minded, you know, listening to everything he has to say.
What do you think about, I know you got a long way to go this season, you're sitting at over 2,000 yards, you're one of the leading receivers all time at the University of Miami. Maybe put into a little bit of perspective what you've been able to accomplish so far and still what you want to accomplish.
Right, for sure. I mean, first thing foremost, I have to give all the glory to God. You know, without him, I wouldn't be half the place I was right now, you know, and you know, all the opportunities he's presented to me, that's just from working hard ever since I was a kid, you know. Early mornings, really, really late nights, just getting up and grinding, you know. And if you were to tell me I would be here right now 6 years ago, I'll look at you and laugh at you, you know. So, I mean, I'm just super blessed to be chosen for this journey. And I thank God for it every single day.
I don't know. I saw you play, I think it was your sophomore year at St. Thomas before you moved on to Deerfield Beach. I saw you play at St. Thomas High School, and I thought to myself, if Miami can get this kid, he's going to catch a lot of passes because you weren't dropping anything in your high school days. So I thought you had a chance to be a Miami Hurricane, a very good Miami Hurricane. So there was one in your corner for sure.
I appreciate you a lot, man. Yeah, no, I mean, if I dropped the ball, I wouldn't hit the end of it in my house.
Well, speaking of which, your family is very close to you, and they're always with you. They've been with you on this journey, right?
For sure. They haven't left my side.
What does that mean to you?
It just means everything, you know? Having, obviously, God on your side is just amazing blessing, and then having, you know, people on your side that no matter what happens, injury, fail, succeed, anything, just stick to your side, you know, it's just an amazing blessing, you know. I can't thank them enough for always being there, you know. Every single game they're at, I look up in the stands, every practice my mom comes to, my dad works, my mom works from home, but again, just an amazing situation that I'm in. I mean, my mom had me when she was young, she was 15 when she had me, so I mean, we kind of grew up together, so it's just, you know, that relationship that we have.
Xavier Restrepo is our guest on the show. Cam Ward, what has he meant to this program? What are the things that he has, tell our audience the things that he's brought to the program.
For sure. I mean, ever since day one, he's been an alpha. You know, he's been an alpha male, and I mean, he came in here on the first day, he was so vocal, and that's kind of surprising, you know, to see a newbie come in and take charge like that. So, I mean, we have unlimited respect for that guy and just super, super lucky to have him.
What did the win over Virginia Tech mean to your team?
It meant a lot. It meant a lot. I think it was definitely a wake-up call as well. But, I mean, it definitely meant a lot. You know, winning is hard. It's simple, but it's not easy at all, you know. Yeah. It's simple to say, okay, here, do this when they run this coverage, stuff like that, but it's very hard to execute, you know. So I think just winning in general in college football is hard.
The way Cam Ward keeps plays alive, that must mean for you guys, you and your wide receivers, because the way he keeps plays alive, you guys are always hot. Somebody's getting the ball. You just got to get open.
For sure. I mean, talk about opportunity. He extends so many opportunities, and we're super thankful to have him again as our quarterback.
How much pride as a group of wide receivers are you guys taking in your game? Because you're all kind of sharing the success here, and you're all making big plays, whether it's you or Isaiah or Sam Brown or Jacoby. I feel like you guys are really coming together.
Right now, for sure. I feel like we're playing very, very unselfish football right now. And I think that's the reason why we're having so much success, is because we want to see all of each other, you know, succeed. So I feel like that's definitely a major thing that we're doing right now.
You have some young receivers behind you, and you were in that spot at one point. You have JoJo Trader, Nicar, Ray Ray Joseph. What are some of the things you're seeing in your younger receivers?
For sure. I mean, Ray Ray, I say this over and over again, I can't wait till, you know, it's his time, because – I mean, all the knowledge that he has and all the game and ability that he has, he's going to be one of the best receivers in college football, you know. So I'm just super excited to see him, because I spent a lot of my time with, you know, Nathaniel, Ray Ray. So, I mean, I'm just super excited to see him take off. And when he does, college football better watch out, you know. And towards the other guys, I mean, they are some freak athletes, man. I mean, JoJo could jump over somebody standing still, you know, and now I could run past somebody, you know, with them having a head start. You know, I mean, it's just so much, so many things. Again, Chance Robinson is like a full receiver, like blocking game, route running, hands. I mean, again, all those guys are just amazing. And you can't forget Shamar Kirk. I mean, that dude with the ball in his hand is dangerous, very, very dangerous. So, I mean, again, we have a lot of really good receivers, and just everyone's timing, you know?
Okay, this week we're going west, California, and what jumps out to me, Xavier, is the amount of interceptions the secondary produces. Number three, Noel Williams, has 11 career interceptions. He leads the country. He's got four this year. What do you see in their defensive backfield that allows them to come up with so many interceptions?
I feel like, I mean, they are a really, really good defense, you know? We have so much respect for those guys. And, I mean, I feel like the reason why they have so many interceptions is because they're ball hawks, you know? Yeah. They don't give up on plays, and they force you to make mistakes. You know, they're very sound. They're not going to bust a lot. And that's when good things happen.
And they're very experienced. I'm looking at the safety in his 42nd game. Both safeties have over 35 games. The corners have a lot of experience. What are some of the things that you have to do as an offense to be on point in this game Saturday night?
Right, for sure. I mean, again, you see four of the five, you know, DBs that play a lot are redshirt seniors, you know. And, again, playing a lot of football means that you understand football, you know. I mean, those guys play well with each other. You could see it when they line up, when they go to tackle somebody, when they go to cover somebody. They know where their teammate is, like the back of their hand, you know. So, again, we're going to have to execute at a very, very high level to win this game.
Okay, last thing for you. You are surrounded by a lot of good players, both on offense and defense. I feel like good players want to be around other good players, and that also creates a lot of confidence. So now after 5 weeks of the season, when you look around at your teammates, do you see that confidence? Are you feeding off of that confidence because you are surrounded by good players and you're one of those good players? So they're surrounded, you know, they see you, you see them.
Right, for sure. I mean, I feel like the biggest thing is the passion for the game. I feel like you could be good without passion. No one's going to really want to be around you, you know? I mean, we have some leaders on our team that are so passionate about football that it's contagious, you know? We love being around each other because we love each other because of the simple fact of we love the game, you know? So I feel like that simple shared characteristic of, you know, being so passionate on the field is what brings us together so much.
All right, X-Man, I'm going to petition the NCAA to see if I can get you another year, only because we like having you on the show. I know you have future aspirations. I know you have future aspirations, but your gain is our loss.
No, man, I appreciate it a lot. Thank you so much.
All right, the best of luck on Saturday night.
Yes, sir, thank you.
All right, we're now joined by University of Miami tight end Elijah Arroyo, who's coming off a monster game and so far a monster season. Elijah, thank you for being with us. First things first, you turned a lot of heads last week. Maybe the play of the game when you ran down Caleb Spencer on the interception. Can you take us through that play, what your mindset was?
Yeah, I mean, I was low-key kind of tired going into the play already. You see, I was in motion. They put me in motion, and then I ran a deep route. And I saw the pick happen. And, you know, I put my head down, tried to get a good angle, and I just took off. Like, I had to have that, you know, that I don't care mentality to where, you know, I don't care what happens. I don't care how tired I am. In my head, I'm thinking, I didn't know if I was going to be able to catch him, but if somebody could slow him down, maybe I'll be able to get there. But shoot, I ended up just flying down, and thankfully, you know, the defense, you know, they went and put a stop to it, and, you know, it wasn't for no reason.
For our audience, I'll try to paint this picture. You were somewhere maybe the 10 or 5-yard line on one side of the field. The play happened on the opposite side of the field, so Caleb Spencer is running along the Virginia Tech sideline. You started on the Miami sideline, and he probably had a 30-yard head start. But from the angle, maybe it was a 100-yard head start, and so you ran him down.
Yeah, I had to do what I had to do.
And I don't know if your inspiration was the game on the line or he was a former teammate, but whatever it was, it worked.
Uh-huh.
Right. Do you remember working against him in practice? He played up until the spring at the University of Miami.
Yeah, he's a great player. You know, I'm super proud of him. And, you know, I'm glad he had a great game personally. But, you know, I couldn't let him beat us. We couldn't do it.
All right, let's go through another important play. Your touchdown, third down and one. Maybe that play was set up against South Florida, but, man, did you spring wide open.
Yeah, so we've been doing a good job, you know, just running that play in practice and really making sure we sell the run on that. And I think, you know, our guys, they all did a good job, you know, executing and doing their job, doing what we're supposed to do. And, you know, it popped wide open just how it has been in practice. So I'm glad it looked the same.
You are averaging an astounding 24.7 yards a reception. You're finally healthy this year. Do you feel like you're able now to show off all of your skill?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like it's something that, you know, the guys in the building, the guys around me, you know, they've always believed in me, which I want to commend them for that. And, you know, they did a good job, you know, keeping my confidence up, you know, throughout the injuries and, you know, everything that was going on in the past. But now, I've been able to, you know, showcase it for the world to see. And I don't think anybody in the building is surprised by it.
How do you feel about the comparisons to Jimmy Graham?
Man, just being in, like, my name being in the same sentence as his, like, that's just a blessing. You know, he's one of the Miami greats. That is somebody that I look up to, you know, being at tight end U. And, you know, it's just an overall blessing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I do see comparisons. Now, I have to tell you, I call University of Miami basketball games, and when Jimmy was a basketball player, his freshman year, he would sit next to me on the bus as a freshman basketball player, and then he became a football player like 3 years later. But it was a remarkable story for him. But I think your skill sets are pretty similar.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I still got a long ways to go, but like I said, you know, just being in the same sentence as him, you know, that's a blessing. I'm going to continue to work and continue to do what I have to do to, you know, help this team win games, and, you know, eventually everything else will come with it.
Can you play basketball?
I'm going to be real with you. I play basketball like a football player. That's all I'm going to say.
Would that mean you would foul out?
I'm decent, but yeah, I probably, honestly, I just don't even play defense because it's either I'm fouling or I'm just letting you shoot.
I did go to our basketball scrimmage the other day. The two teams combined for almost 200 points. And Coach Yell said, well, they all feel good because they all like to score. So that would be you, right? You just want to score.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm an offensive player.
How do you feel about your tight end room this year? 26 catches, 6 touchdowns. The tight ends have become a real factor in this offense.
Wow. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited, you know, because as a room, you know, we're a very talented group, and I think we do a good job of keeping the main thing. Everybody in the room works hard. You know, we like to keep our heads down. We don't really worry about the outside noise. And, you know, it's showing right now. You know, the whole room's been eating, and I love that for them. I love that for us.
I asked this to Xavier Restrepo. Can you talk about the impact that Cam Ward has had on your program? Not only the way he plays, but just the impact on the University of Miami program.
Man, he came in and, like, immediately, like, flipped this thing around. You know, he's a great leader. That's somebody that, you know, everybody looks up to on the team. He's not afraid to hold anybody accountable. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're in the wrong, if you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, if you're, like, he'll check guys is what I like about him. And, you know, he's a starting quarterback. He's a great leader. Guys are going to listen to him. And I think that's kind of what we are missing as far as a quarterback standpoint, just off the field. And you've seen what he's been doing on the field. It's crazy to see. Even like being on the field with him, just to witness that, like the stuff that he does is crazy.
I think this is true. Maybe you'll agree or maybe not. But the thinking is, in football, when your quarterback is your hardest worker, that's a good thing because then everybody else follows along.
Oh, yeah, that's facts. It's facts.
Right. I tell this story to everybody back in the late 80s, and Michael Irvin was on the sidelines the other night, the wide receiver, and after the 86 season, Going into 87, they had a change of quarterbacks because Vinny Testaverde had graduated. Mike Irvin told Steve Walsh, we're going to practice every day, you and me. After practice, we're going to run every play from each hash mark so we get in sync. And after practice, I see Cam Ward doing similar things with you guys. That extra work after practice is beneficial, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. You know, any throw we miss on a Tuesday or Wednesday practice, you know, we go and run it again after practice. And, you know, we go in and make sure we get the timing right on, you know, on throws. And we really want to feel prepared, you know, going into Saturday. We don't want to have any type of worries, any doubts. You know, we want to feel good about the game plan and good about each other. And we just want to, you know, be in a good headspace going into Saturday. So I think that's where that comes from.
That's a great answer, by the way. An excellent answer. Elijah Arroyo is our guest. A couple of quick other questions for you. You're a tough matchup, 6'4", 247 pounds. What do you see defenses trying to do to you? And as we move forward, what do you anticipate they're going to do to you to try to slow you down?
Honestly, I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah. But I'm really not about it because, you know, we have weapons all around. You know, they can't stick all of us. That's what we've been saying, you know, since, like, there's no way they're going to be able to hold all of us. Like, somebody's going to eat.
How about this game set? This game Saturday night, how do you view this Cal defense? They are one, I guess it's built into their DNA of taking the ball away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're a very good, sound defense. They have a great back end, in my opinion. Like you said, you know, they do a great job, you know, creating turnovers also. So we just got to make sure we take care of the ball while we're in there, minimize mistakes, and I think we'll be all right.
Last thing for you. I know your coach Cristobal preaches be 1-0 each week. You are 5-0 overall. You're inside the top 10. You know what you're playing for this year. It's a new system in college football. You know what you're playing for. So every week is kind of a big week, isn't it, for Miami Hurricanes football now? And that's probably, I would think, since every game's important, that's right where you want to be, right?
Oh, of course. You know, we're aware that, you know, we're in ACC play now. Each game is going to get harder and harder. And, you know, we just got to take it day by day, week by week, to do what we can to, you know, keep stacking.
All right, Elijah, thank you for taking the time. You've had a great season so far. We really like watching you play. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Elijah Arroyo and Xavier Restrepo joining us. Pretty hard not to root for those two guys. Pretty hard not to root for those two kids. They're doing a great job on the field. Excellent job here on the show. I thought Arroyo's basketball answer was comical. He just plays offense. At any rate, still to come, EJ Manuel will join us from the ACC Network. Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac. Are you interested in a CT4, a CT5, an XT5 in the market for the XT6? I'm driving the XT4. How about the all-new electric Lyriq? Well, the place to get it is from your luxury dealership. That's Williamson Cadillac, located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. They have all these models are arriving every single day. You can go online to Williamson Automotive Group.com and check out all of the different models. Then make a little trip to US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, and you can see all the great models that are there. And of course, Ed Williamson, his lovely wife, Carol, and general manager, Jeff Rogers, they'll be there and they're going to treat you like family. They're going to treat you like royalty because they want you to have a great customer experience. It all starts at Williamson with a great customer experience. And then of course, you're going to get the top of the line automobile at Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac's been doing this for over 50 years. So if you are right now in the market for an automobile, I highly recommend Williamson Cadillac, your luxury dealership located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, still to come, EJ Manuel will be joining us on the show. Thanks to Xavier Restrepo, Elijah Arroyo, Mario Cristobal, Don Bailey Jr. We've got you covered on Saturday beginning at 6 o'clock with our pregame show, extra half an hour. So we'll be on there at 6 p.m. on Saturday for Miami and Cal and 10:30 kickoff from Berkeley, California, as the Hurricanes try to run their record to 6-0 going into a bye week, and then that sets up a big part of the schedule. If Miami gets by Cal, then it's a bye week, and then we got the meat of the schedule coming up. You know, you've got a gigantic game at Louisville. They're very good. Then Florida State, who's not very good right now, but it's still Florida State. And then Duke. And Manny Diaz last week had one of his biggest wins because he was finally able to defeat Mac Brown. They were down like 20-0 in that game. Then I shut it off. And I looked up and they were winning. I had Saturday off. I'm watching Duke, and they're getting crushed, so I shut it off, and they came back and won the game. So that is where we stand right now with Miami Hurricanes football. 5-0, gigantic game against Cal, then a bye week, a chance to rest up and heal up because some of the injuries are mounting, and then it's to Louisville, and Louisville is a good squad with a good head coach who's a really good play caller. So the next month, we got the meat and potatoes of the season coming up. It should be quite a thrill ride for all of us. And thankful that you'll be joining us. And when we come back, we'll talk with EJ Manuel as we continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, happy to welcome you back to the show as we continue on. Don't forget, Hurricanes and Cal on Saturday night. Don Bailey Jr. and I, along with Josh Darrow, will have the call. Kickoff at 10:30, so set your alarm clocks. We'll be on the air at 6 p.m., but 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff. Joining us now from the ACC Network and former Seminole quarterback EJ Manuel, doing great work on the ACC Network. EJ, thank you for being with us. Let's start off this on a positive note for Miami. What do you see so far in the Miami Hurricanes?
Oh, well, Joe, first off, thanks for having me, because I know that I am a Seminole by degree, but I got love for the Canes, man. These guys are playing excellent football. And you mentioned starting on a positive note, it's like, which note do you want to start on? Because yeah, there's so many positives from this football team. And obviously the big one, man, is for them to pull out that victory against Virginia Tech. And I understand it was a debatable call there at the end of the game. But ultimately, I feel like that was the first time Miami really had some adversity in the ballgame, in the sense of where Cam Ward, the star quarterback, has an early fumble and the defense has to bow their neck a little bit and make some stops with some short field positions for Virginia Tech. And, you know, Virginia Tech answers back with some touchdowns of their own. Like, it was just a good back and forth, good old-fashioned college football game. And I thought that was huge for us in the ACC. But, you know, in years past, Joe, I think Miami would have lost that kind of game. You know what I mean? And they would have been up early and started the season extremely strong like they have, being 4-0 going into that one. And then, you know, have one or two things happen where the ball doesn't roll their way and end up coming up with a loss. Now, if they had lost that game, I don't think anyone would have said, hey, this is a down year for Miami. Like, this is a very good football team nonetheless. But I was impressed with the fact that they did win the game. And so that one alone was very impressive to me. And I know we're going to get into Cam Ward throughout this interview. But that dude, man, he is just playing at such a high level to where he's poised. you know, even when he makes mistakes, whether it's an interception or a fumble, you don't see him ever get down on himself. Like, he has elite confidence in him as a quarterback. And, Joe, that permeates throughout the entire team. You see that with his receivers. You see that with offensive lines, running backs, the defensive coaches. Like, everybody just looks to the quarterback, and when they see that, hey, his head's still high after a mistake, hey, we're going to be fine. We'll get the ball back for you. And that's exactly what this Miami team is doing, playing good football in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Cam Ward, he makes these plays that I guess you would say would go against the discipline of being a quarterback, these across the body, across the field throws. But I feel like if you say, Cam, we have to take that out of your repertoire, you're just taking away what he does. That's, you got to live with it. That's part of his gunslinging.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because when I was a quarterback at Florida State, even, or even in the NFL, and this is 10 to 15 years ago, you know, the things that we were taught, you know, as quarterbacks, 3-step in the hitch and a gun, 5-step in the hitch and a gun for routes that were, you know, 15 plus yards down the field. Whereas it's not even just Cam doing this. I think this is now, we're in an era where the quarterback position is truly about, you know, making plays. And it's always been that way. But I think 15 years ago, it was almost something where, you know, coaches kind of came down on you for it. And I think, one, Cam has earned the right to have that freedom. You know, because it'd be one thing if he was throwing the ball and having a lot of turnovers and all that kind of stuff. He hasn't. I mean, you got to live with some of the good and the bad, because the good is really going to outweigh, you know, the bad in his play. And so I think the timing of where we are as football people and where coaches are kind of more open to players just being themselves and having their own style of how they want to play quarterback. Because, again, like I said, 15 years ago, everybody wanted you to be like Steve Young or like Joe Montana or like Tom Brady, like very like statue-like, 5 steps in the hitch throw, 5 steps. Like, nah, man, football is, hey, drop back and make a play. You know what I mean? If you got a shovel pass, a check down to your tight end for a 30-yard gain to almost score, to almost win the game, so be it. And I think that's what you get from Cam Ward, that ultimate confidence to make any kind of play at any kind of moment.
Yeah. EJ Manuel is our guest. You've seen Miami a lot through the years as an analyst and as a former player. When you look at their offense conducted by Shannon Dawson with Cam Ward, what do you see in their offense? What do you like about their offense?
Well, I love the fact that the ball gets spread out to everybody. This is an offense where anybody can get it, you know, and I think in that game against Virginia Tech, maybe 9 guys caught a football. Running backs involved, tight ends involved, which means you're getting the check downs, you're getting late into your progression as a quarterback. And again, that's because of the tutelage of Cam Ward. But Xavier Restrepo, to me, is one of my favorite players to watch and even study, because third downs and even in the first and the second down, he just finds ways to get open. He's not even the fastest guy on the field. He just has a great knack and a great understanding of zone coverages and where to kind of slow his body down before he runs himself into being covered, little small things like that. And you mix, I guess, the mentality and like the know-how with an air raid offense that Shannon Dawson has. I mean, it's an open book for everybody to get yards. And then you have a gunslinger that can literally do it and get the ball to all these guys. I mean, you're going to have a championship caliber kind of team too, because now you can score points. If you can score 30 plus every game, that takes a lot of pressure off your defense. And you just say, hey, guys, just holding the 31 or holding the 28, we're going to get a win. That's a big thing, and I think that's what Miami is this year.
I don't know if you happen to see it. Well, I want to talk about Elijah Arroyo, the tight end. He was on our show earlier with Restrepo. Arroyo is averaging 24 yards a catch. He leads the league in that department. But I don't know if you had a chance to see his play where he ran down Caleb Spencer on the interception. It's on the All-22. He ran. He was on one sideline. Spencer was on the other. He probably ran, I don't know, 150 yards to catch him. EJ, when you see a player, and you know they show this video to the entire team, when you see a teammate make that kind of play of desire, what kind of effect do you think it has on the rest of the team?
Well, see, this is what I mean. This is why this Miami team is different, because now it's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a great teammate because I believe in what Coach Cristobal has been telling us for the past 3 years. I believe in the guy next to me. And those are the types of plays that I recall seeing my teammates make when I was at Florida State, when we were really good, you know, when we had a championship caliber football team. And that's Arroyo having his brother's back. You know, you have an interception. All right, well, I'm still going to put the effort forward to not yeah, you got the pick, but I'm not going to let you score. You know what I mean? I think there was even one where Cam Ward might have thrown an interception or a fumble or something, and he made the tackle. Like, guys are still selling out and giving that extra effort and, you know, really selling out for their football team. So, besides the stuff that we see Arroyo doing with the touchdown catches and the catches that he's made, it's also, like you mentioned, Joe, that extra effort to help his team win. Because, look, if he doesn't make that tackle, Virginia Tech might score. Maybe that's the difference in the actual ballgame. We don't even get to that jump pass at the end of it, right? So, I think you know, that's where Miami is kind of really kind of turned the curve of understanding how to win versus just trying to win. I think Miami is at a point where they're like, nah, this is how we win, and this is what we're going to do with those extra effort plays.
At being a quarterback, again, if you look at the Miami defense, what jumps out at you?
Well, the big thing is the front. And the wildest part is we haven't even seen a lot of Reuben Bain. I'm assuming he has an injury, but imagine, Joe, when he's coming back, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you look at, you know, these guys they've gotten in the transfer portal, bringing back Mezador, getting a guy in the portal like Michel Powell, who has championship caliber, championship experience when he was at the University of Washington. Wesley Bissaint, you know, a staple within this defense. Francisco Malinoa, also doing a great job. Simeon Barrow, so many different names. And even the secondary, I know they did give up some big plays to Virginia Tech, but everybody does. Corners are going to get beat. That's part of the position. But ultimately, the thing that I've enjoyed is just seeing how they can get after the passer. And look, that's going to have to continue because Miami still does play some pretty good offenses throughout the season. They got Cal. I think they easily handled that one on the road. But then Louisville's decent. And then outside of that, Florida State's struggling. Duke's decent. Georgia Tech has a decent quarterback as well. So they'll still be challenged. And I think right now Miami's sitting in a really good spot defensively as well to have guys that can get after the passer. That's the biggest thing.
I do believe they expect Bain back against Cal. I do want to ask you about some of the things going on in the ACC, but I also want to get your thoughts. Okay, so the last play, it's ruled a touchdown. There's been a lot of discussion about how the ACC handled this thing. Some of that I feel like is just because it's Miami. But originally I thought the mistake they made was they should have ruled it incomplete and then went from there and then reviewed it after that. I think their mistake was they ruled it a touchdown, which put them in a real pickle. But what were your thoughts on how the end of the game was handled or managed?
Yeah, well, I'll just say when I first saw it happen live, I did not think it was a catch just because of the way that the ball kind of bounced around and almost disappeared when all the players went up for a catch. So I initially didn't think that they would deem it a catch. But then when they caught it a touchdown, truthfully, Joe, there was no evidence to say it was. But I put it like this way. If you say it was a touchdown, I didn't see any evidence to say, okay, well, it's not a touchdown. Because generally you don't see the ball until it kind of just comes out. And so I think the way that they made the call initially, like you said, it should have been incomplete. And then I think the play should have stand. Either way, I think it was an incomplete pass because the receiver did not survive the ground. And then also, if you look at where their bodies kind of lay on the ground, they're out of bounds too. Right. So it was obviously a bang-bang play. But you're right. I mean, I was kind of shocked that they found enough evidence to overturn what they called, which was a touchdown.
It was a hell of a throw by Drones. I give him that. I just feel like, you know, as the guy that was calling the game and the play was below me, I kind of felt, I said it was juggled around. I kind of felt like, as you said, he never had complete control of it, although it was a wonderful, wonderful, incredible effort by the receiver.
Yeah, no, the effort was excellent, but it was a great effort even by the DB to continue to play through the play.
Horton. Right.
He kind of knocked it out. He kind of was the one that was like, you know, with his hand, just kind of shoo the ball out of the receiver's arms. And again, that's why I think you called an incomplete pass, because if the receiver clearly had the ball with a nice firm grip, that ball's not coming out. Yeah. You know, you just kind of survive all the mayhem that's going on in that moment. So, you know, again, that's that extra effort play, those little small inches that Miami is making, man, on a weekly basis, and it's helping them win ball games.
Yeah, that was made by a wide receiver, Horton. I should mention that Horton made a heck of a play, went in there because he's the tallest guy they have and had never been in that position. He just kept trying to rake the ball away. So, yeah, a lot of credit to Isaiah Horton. EJ Manuel is our guest. I guess this is a twofold question. Since Clemson is playing at Florida State, Clemson is hot. So the question is, what's happened to Klubnik? He's really turned it on. And then, of course, I have to ask you, what's going on with Florida State?
Yeah, well, Klubnik is just playing with a ton of confidence, Joe. I think he's really gotten the ownership of this offense. I'll go back to when they got blown out by Georgia. I think that was a good moment for him to realize, hey, if I want to play championship caliber football, this is kind of the level. Like, this is how it is. And I think he realized that he has to up his play, and it starts with him. And since then, man, I mean, he's been on a tear. You know, he's completing a lot of his passes. He's throwing for a bunch of yards. He's giving his receivers opportunities to go deep. And I think that's the part where Clemson fans specifically wanted to see this offense take that next step. You know, you bring in guys like Brian Wesco, bring back a receiver like Antonio Williams, the young kid Tyler Brown, Jake Brennan still the tight end. All these players are starting to get back into that mode of, like, attacking you vertically. And I think that's when Clemson plays their best football. And, look, you know, Florida State is in – I don't even know how to describe it, Joe. I'm just so shocked to see how this team has played. They're not great on defense. They're not great on offense. They're not really good at anything right now, as wild as that is to say, besides special teams. And I say that in all sincerity. Like, the special teams is really good. Fitzgerald and Mastromano, those guys are Sunday guys. But you just don't see the consistency from this team. And they have good players, man. I think that's the toughest part, the most frustrating part, is because these players are talented. He's just wondering, like, why is this not carrying over into the football field and they're getting victories? So I was at the game in Dallas against SMU. You know, Florida State's defensive line couldn't really hold the point. Rashard Smith, who was actually a former Cane, yep, had a day, well over 100 yards rushing. He looked nice and fresh. The young quarterback, Kevin Jennings, was seeing the field clearly. Rhett Lashley, their head coach, caught a great game. He really did. I mean, he caught a game where the quarterback could see the field. All his reads were crisp and clean. He put the ball out there for them to make plays. And then, you know, Florida State just turning it over. You know, I think that's going to always be an issue in any game you play, especially on the road and hostile environment. You're not going to win like that. And so, not sure what they're going to do moving forward. I did read that DJU has an injury, so I'm not sure if that's something where he's out for multiple weeks or not, but doesn't sound like they're going to have him for the Clemson game, which is pretty ironic.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting indeed. I think it's pretty fair to say right now, and we'll see how that goes, right now Clemson, Miami, Louisville are the three best in the ACC, and I don't discount Louisville because I think Braum calls a heck of a game as well.
Yeah, but don't sleep on Duke either. Yeah. You know, shout out to Manny Diaz. I mean, he has his team sitting at 5-0. That was a wild game that they won this past Saturday coming back against North Carolina. Don't sleep on SMU. I think they're going to wake some people up, especially now that they know who their quarterback is, and Kevin Jennings. I like Pitt a lot. They're also undefeated. Haven't played an ACC game, but the two comeback victories that they had show me that this team has grit. They have the know-how. They have that heart that you want to see in a football team. And Syracuse. So I think there's probably still seven teams I think are all in the hunt. And again, Joe, it's super early. It's still very early. We're just getting into October. So a lot of these games will, you know, start to decide who's going to be the front runner. But I do think the main three right now, Clemson sitting really nice, Miami sitting nice, and Louisville. But these other teams are right at their heels.
Yeah. Miami does have Duke, they do have Louisville, and they do have Syracuse on the schedule. So if they're going to win it, they'll have to go through those teams. EJ Manuel has been our guest, ACC Network. You can catch EJ's work on the ACC Network. Former Seminole quarterback, but now I do believe you're a South Florida resident, so you've come down to paradise.
Hey, and Joe, let me add, again, thanks for having me on the show. I'm also on SiriusXM Channel 84, a show called Off Campus, co-host with Jacob Hester, former LSU Tiger and NFL running back. So you guys can also listen to me there every week, weekday, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. If you guys want to take a listen.
All right, we got you, SiriusXM Radio, ACC Network. You've got it all covered with all those guys, and Hester's a bit of a character.
Oh, absolutely. And look, Joe, I'm going to call you to come on our show sometime too, man, because the Canes are hot. So we definitely want to have some conversations. So we'll be in touch without a doubt.
Yeah, be more than happy. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll be watching, and thank you for being with us.
Anytime. Thanks,
Joe. All right. Thanks to EJ Manuel joining us on the show. Also, thanks to Don Bailey Jr., head coach Mario Cristobal as well. Trevor Harris has been our producer. A reminder, we'll talk to you on Saturday, 10:30 kick, 6 p.m. pregame show here on QAM. Have a very pleasant evening.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.